shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Very impactful, very sobering words that should get all of our attention. Praise God for verse number 7. He that overcometh, he that overcometh. I like that. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to say that. All things. All things. They shall inherit all things. I can't imagine inheriting all things. Everything that God has, everything that God has given Jesus Christ, everything that Christ has promised, and he said to those that make it all the way to the end, he's going to give of the water of life freely. And to him that overcomes, to the overcomer, he shall inherit all things. Amen. But he does go on in verse number 8 and speak about the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars. And I want to tell you something. If you take time to look at these words and look every one of these up and try to apply them, you'll find there's a whole lot more in those words than just sometimes what we have in our mind to define such things. And if we're not real careful in our Christian experience, some of these, the attributes of these things will try to attach themselves to us. And if we're not careful, we'll have things. You say, well, I'd never be an idolater. I'd never fall down and worship some image or some doll of some kind that somebody has made into a god. But there might be things in your life that you are allowing them to be an idol in your life. And God would look at that and say, that's idolatry. Amen. Idolaters and liars all shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire. Amen. The one I want to deal with this morning is in that very first part of verse number 8. But the fearful. And I'd like to use for a title this morning, the invisible tormentor. The invisible tormentor. Verse number 7 is a promise to the overcomers. Please notice, if you will, the rapid digression in verse number 8 of the company of bad actors that associates with fear. Sometimes we look at it and think, well, fear maybe is not so bad. But when you start adding to those other things that go along, unbelieving, abominable, very, very quickly, it digresses into those that are murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolatry. I've already elaborated on that somewhat. But fear, I want to speak to you this morning about fear, that invisible tormentor that we call fear. Amen. The definition of fear is a distressing emotion. A distressing emotion. They have that up for you. A distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc. Whether the threat, hear this, whether the threat is real or imagined, the feeling or condition of being afraid. Synonyms: foreboding, apprehension, consternation, dismay, dread, terror, fright, panic, horror, trepidation, qualm. The opposite antonyms of that is courage and security, calm and intrepidity. Amen. All of these things that are associated with fear, apprehension, dismay, dread, terror. Amen. Even things that the Word of God warned us about that would try to attach themselves and take hold of people's lives in the last days. Amen. How is it that something that has no mouth, yet it speaks, amen. It has no hands, yet its touch is paralyzing. It has no body, yet its presence is unmistakable. And when it visits you with its distressing emotions of impending danger, it can be paralyzing. All of a sudden we're stunned. All of a sudden we don't know what to do. Amen. Fear. If we do not conquer fear, it will immobilize the church into debilitating paralysis. Amen. Is there anybody here hearing me preach this morning? Amen. A paralysis that is unable, and we will be unable to accomplish anything for the kingdom of God. Amen. I have visited churches that I'm describing to you that are paralyzed with fear. They never do anything. They never grow. They never move forward. Why? Because they're afraid. We don't have the resources, so we can't. We don't have the personnel, so we can't. We don't have somebody that's qualified, so we can't. And they never move forward. Amen. And all it is, the problem is, fear has taken a hold of them, and inside the grip of fear is a paralyzing paralysis that keeps them and hinders them from being what God would want them to do and from what they could do were not they in the grip of a paralyzing thing that we call fear. Amen. Hear me this morning, church. Amen. Don't think it can't happen here. Amen. People get in a place where they feel like they can't do anything. Amen. And some are bothered because they think it's bothered somebody else, or somebody's hindered because they're afraid they're going to hinder somebody else. Amen. And the net profit of that is a whole lot of people sit around and do nothing, and we're paralyzed by fear. And we're inside the grip of fear, and the devil accomplishes his will because we do nothing, because we're afraid. Oh, I wish God's people here this morning would say, I'm no longer going to be immobilized by an invisible tormentor that's keeping me from being what God wants me to be. Can you say amen? Praise God. Personal illustration. And I know all of you could think of things in your life where things have happened to you. And every little boy that grows up in the woods and in the rural communities would have probably something to relate, as I would. But I still today, it's impacted in my mind. I don't know how old I was, probably 12, maybe 13 years old. Always trying to train a little dog to hunt squirrels and tree squirrels, and such was this day. My little bolt action 410 shotgun. I'm old enough now. Dad trusts me to go to the woods with a shotgun by myself. Amen. We never wanted to come home empty handed. And at least on the place where I grew up, if you hunted every place else and never saw a squirrel, there was one sure place. Amen. Right down on the creek. That huge cottonwood tree, I could not put both arms around, probably take two or three people. Amen. And always, typically, you could find a squirrel, amen, to shoot in that tree. Amen. Are y'all with me so far? And so here I am, I'm alone. Dad, trust me now, I'm able to go to the woods with my own shotgun and my little dog. Amen. My dog got away from me and I didn't know where he was. And I was along there, you know, right there close to where that big tree was that I just described. And all of a sudden I hear a little yelping, and here comes a bobcat on the other side of the creek, kind of coming toward where I was. And man, I just picked up my shotgun and I began blasting away at that thing just as fast as I could bolt those shells out and put another one in. That little dog was chasing it. And I didn't do anything but just burn him a little bit. Maybe cost him a little bit of footing, but I didn't kill him. He went on. But after that happened, in those few seconds that followed, there was a fear that gripped me. Amen. I'm telling you what, something said to me, boy, if you can't hit any better than that, you might as well get your shotgun and head to the house. Amen. Are y'all with me so far? By the time I stretched back through the next little stretch of timber, now I'm telling y'all the truth now, that bobcat had rounded up the whole feline kingdom, and every cat in Oklahoma was chasing me. I was afraid to look up in the big tree. I'm talking, Brother Troy, big cats with long fuzzy tails. Every tree, every limb, I did not dare even look up. Now y'all are laughing, but I'm telling you, I'm making a point. To me, it was real. Amen. And they were pursuing me, and they were chasing me out of their environment. Amen. Come on, church. Somebody work with me here this morning. If you don't think our enemy will do that to us while we're in church, and while we're in youth rally, and while we're in Sunday morning, and while we're trying to reach our loved ones, he will paralyze us. Amen. My hunting was over. I went home empty-handed. Amen. Because of fear, there was nothing to it. It wasn't real, but in my mind and in my heart, I was controlled by something that wasn't even there. Oh, Jesus, help us. Amen. Fear will paralyze you to the place that you can't do anything. Let me show you something. Let me show you how to discern fear that is not of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess. Are y'all working with me, church? Yes. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Thank God for these promises. And we have known and believed the God, amen, and believe that love, the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. Listen to verse 18. There is no fear. Somebody say no fear. Amen. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. If you don't hear anything else I say today, amen, perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I'm asking you today, would you take inventory in your life? Would you see what's keeping you from being what God wants you to be? Would you analyze what is stopping you from fulfilling God's call on your life? It might be that it's fear, amen, that's immobilizing, that's tormenting, that's causing you to think things that are not even there and make them so real to you that you're convinced that it's real. But it's nothing more than the companion of fear that is a tormentor. But perfect love. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, would somebody lift your hands in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Thank God for that perfect love. Anybody felt it? Anybody manifested it? Anybody have it in your life? Perfect love. Perfect love. That tormentor, that fear that tries to take hold of you. Perfect love casteth out. Casteth out. Here's the remedy to it. Perfect love casteth out fear. Amen. Because fear has torment. Fear has a constant companion. That constant companion is torment. Perfect love is the only thing powerful enough. I've talked to so many people recently. Hear me preach. Is it all right if I take a little bit extra time here this morning? I've talked to so many people recently. I talked to a pastor very recently. People that he knows and his family and others. We've experienced some of it here where people are immobilized by fear. And they're in a panic. And they feel like something. And I'm not talking about people that are not saved, but people have been saved for a long time and had the blessing and the favor of God in their life. But all of a sudden, they're captivated by something else. And they're having to be medicated. And they're having to go somewhere to the arm of flesh for help. Amen. Hear me now. Don't anybody think I'm getting crazy here, but I tell you, I am getting upset at the devil. Amen. Come on, young people. I don't know why my young folks ended up back here in the room this morning, but I wish the older folks would make room for them to move on up a little closer here. Seems like y'all are long ways back there. Is the pastor helping you preach this morning? Amen. Fear will keep you from being what you need to be. Fear will keep you from going where you need to go. Amen. Fear will capitalize. Fear will take hold. Amen. But perfect love casteth out fear. That's the reason so many in your generation are going to the vices of drugs and alcohol and narcotics of all kinds. They are trying, amen, the best way they can to get loose from that fear and that torment that is bothering them so much. Perfect love casteth out fear. Constant companion is torment. Amen. What I'd like for us to do is to get back to that place. We would say, God, I'm no longer going to let fear control me anymore. I'm not going to let it take hold of my mind when I feel that panic coming. I mean, that nowadays we call it panic attack. Something's coming on. Something, I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know how I'm going to get help. Perfect love casteth out fear. There's much truth in the line made famous by President Roosevelt in the first inaugural address in 1933, while America's economy was caught in the grip of the Great Depression. He said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Amen. Well, y'all are awful quiet here today. Am I helping anybody here? I want to take this on a little bit further here. What is the antithesis of fear? I want to give you the other side of this just for a moment. Amen. And this is what I feel like the Lord wanted me to speak to you this morning. It's faith. Faith also has a constant companion. Amen. You mean to tell you what the constant companion of faith is? It is love. Amen. Fear has torment and faith has love. Amen. Fear has torment and faith has love. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Amen. Remember that there's faith and love. There's fear and torment. And faith worketh by love. Amen. Oh, Holy Ghost, help me to preach in here today. Amen. You can have enough faith if you want to try to measure faith. You can have enough faith to remove the whole Rocky Mountains. But if you don't have any love, all of that faith will never never be activated. It'll never move even a molehill if it's not operated and motivated in love. Love is a companion of faith, and faith cannot work. Amen. I just read it to you in the Word. Faith worketh. Amen. Are you hearing me preach? Faith worketh by love. Amen. I'm telling you, the invisible tormentor, the one that's always coming accusing, the one that's always bringing doubt. Amen. It never works by love. I can't do anything because of this. And somebody else can't do anything because of that. And nobody can do anything. And after a while, nothing can take place. And nothing can happen because we're immobilized by a tormentor that's invisible. Amen. God help us. Let us get the active ingredient in our life that's going to work. Amen. So God can accomplish His will in our life. Can you say amen? Faith and love, fear and torment. Who's winning the day in your life? Are you tormented? The church is going worldly. My business is going to fail. My marriage is going to fall apart. My children are going to never come back to God. Amen. Those are just some things. How many times is it torment after torment after torment? Amen. How do you know that what God's going to do? If you let faith work by love, amen, and you start believing God's got this, and God's in control, and God can turn it, and God can change it, amen. Amen. And God can deal with people. And God can change my mind. Amen. If I allow faith to work in my heart by love. Otherwise, I'm going to be destroyed. Otherwise, I'm going to be manipulated by something that's not even there. Just like those cats I tried to tell you about a while ago. Amen. You did run well, Paul said. You did run well. And Peter, a while ago you was doing so good. Peter, a while ago you had more faith than all of us. You got out of the boat. I don't know, maybe they're in the boat cheering him on. Go, Peter, go, go, man, you're doing good. Might have been some others almost feeling like getting out and trying it too. But then all of a sudden, what happened, Peter? Something happened. Amen. Oh, yeah. You know what it was? You already know. You already know what caused Peter to sink. Wasn't because he committed adultery. Wasn't because he was a sorcerer, a whoremonger, or a liar. No, no, no. That wasn't it. It wasn't that kind of sin in his life. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was... Oh. You don't mean it, Brother Darrell. You don't mean it, do you? He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord... Oh, come on, church. I love that right there. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm getting there now. You're starting to hear it now. That's right. Lord, Lord, save me. Save me from what? Save me from fear. Amen. Save me from that thing that, amen, that has no hands and has no mouth. It has no way of doing anything. Amen. Yet we know it is so real and so paralyzing. Oh, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, Oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Amen. Praise God. It'll be 50 years. 50 years ago, come January. Another fearful experience in my life I'm telling you about. Still to this day, hardly ever. Very, very seldom do I drive past. Some of you will drive past it on your way home. Highway 97 and Morrow Road. To this day, I'm 55 years old. Almost every time I drive past there, I think about it because it's impacted on my mind. A little 5-year-old boy going to school at the old Booker T. Washington school there on the corner. It's tore down now. Man, my dad was doing a handyman job. Best I remember, see, some other things of that day has impacted on my mind. You probably don't even remember it. Putting down a little bit of linoleum of some type for Brother Jetty and Sister Gertie Irwin. And their house made me miss the school bus because I was with you. We got home. Mom took me to school to let me in. I got out of the car. It wasn't a big 4-lane highway like it is now with lights. Just a little 2-lane road, Morrow Road, crossing the intersection there. Matter of fact, they hadn't even built Warehouse Market. Just a big vacant open lot there. My mom let me out. I run to the schoolhouse door. I pushed the door to go in, and the door wouldn't move. And at that moment, I panicked. When I panicked, I turned around to watch my mom drive a car across the intersection of 97 Highway and Morrow Road. I don't know what happened to me, but something inside of me said, run. And I run, and I run, and I run. Oh, God. Oh, I wish the Lord had helped me here this morning. I hope I'm helping somebody here this morning. I'm telling you, though, these things are so real. People, it's happening to some of you right now while I'm preaching in church this morning. And you don't even realize it's so real. It was just that panic I took off running. And I gauged it just a little while ago. It's right at a half a mile. A 5-year-old old child in a panic running across there. I seen a man out there cleaning up that lot because they were fixing to start building Warehouse Market. When I seen that man, I run even harder. My younger brother David was 6 weeks old. My mom got home, carried him through the house and laid him in the room in the back when I come running in the back door. I almost beat her home. And she's driving a car. And then she's in a panic because she thinks somebody's breaking in the house in the back door. Because the last time she sees me, I'm at the schoolhouse. Hey, man, I'm talking about what fear will do to you. Fear has torn me. Oh, do I have a praying church here today? I'm asking you again, would you look around and take a look at all the empty pews? Would you think about all of those young people that are backslid? Would you think about young couples that ought to be in church this morning that are doing somewhere else, fulfilling a pleasure? Amen. And the enemy is not taking a vacation. Amen. Right now, I'm not asking you to, amen, to fall in some kind of panic of fear. I'm asking you to let those things motivate the church to act in love and to be motivated by love. Amen. Until God can do something. If we act out of panic, you'll hit the gas when you ought to hit the brake, and you'll hit the brake when you ought to hit the gas. Amen. It's fear that's immobilizing and paralyzing. Amen. When my mom comforted me with love, consoled me, I calmed down. She calmed down. She took me back to school. This time she took me to the door. Amen. You see, I was supposed to pull the door instead of push the door. She took me into my teacher, explained to her why I was late. What are you saying? I'm demonstrating to you how perfect love casteth out fear. Woo! I didn't need a shot of Ritalin. I didn't need a pill. All I needed, Brother Galen, was just reassurance from somebody that loved me. I just want to say to somebody this morning, it's not a new wife you need. It's not a new job you need. Amen. You know, it's not even a new church or a new Sunday school teacher. Amen. It's not even that you would do better if somebody else wasn't there. You know, some people get that feeling sometimes too. No, it's not that. It's all in perfect love that casts out, that will cast out fear. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. I believe I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. What is the invisible tormentor keeping you from doing or being? Amen. I heard Brother Havis say so many years ago, if you have to fear something, fear your fears. If you have to doubt something, doubt your doubts. Amen. I'll tell you right here today, if we would start doubting our doubts and fearing our fears, become afraid of what fear is going to do to me if I don't conquer fear. What's fear going to do to my family if I don't overcome that? What's it going to do to my church if I don't let perfect love cast out fear? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Fear your fears. Doubt your doubts. Amen. I'm almost done. I'm going to finish with this passage. A few more verses than I would really prefer to read right here, but I just want to get your attention with this. I'm almost done. Matthew chapter 25, verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Here it is right here, verse 25. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, here thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath it shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even man. Boy, I tell you what, if we don't have an altar call this morning, I don't know what. Every one of us, no matter how long we've been saved, no matter how we feel or how far we feel we've made it in God, this ought to frighten every one of us in a positive way. From him that hath not shall be, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he that have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth. Holy Ghost, help us. I'm not asking anybody that don't feel like it, but if there's anybody here that feels like praying for the preacher in the altar service right now, would you do it? No, really, I'm asking you, would you do it in the name of Jesus? Touch us here today, Lord. Oh God, I don't know if there's a sinner in the house, but I know there's a lot of us here, Lord, that have been motivated at times by fear. We've been immobilized by fear. Yeah. I wonder. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The word says, pray that you may interpret. Praise God. We've always got time. We got time for the Holy Ghost. Don't we, saints of God? Don't we have time for the Holy Ghost to speak into our life here this morning? Fear. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. While we tarry here, maybe the interpretation will come right here as I continue to exhort here just a moment or two. And I will by asking a question. I wonder. I'm not going to do this. I'm not actually going to do this exercise. I want you to do it in your mind. I wonder this morning if I ask, how many people here in this auditorium feel like you have five talents? I wonder how many hands I would get. I don't know that I would raise my hand. I don't necessarily feel like that I have five. I just feel like, I don't know, maybe I do, maybe I have more. Maybe we all have more than that. What if I ask, how many of you feel like you have at least two talents? I might get a hand or two. People feel like that maybe there is something they could do. I don't know. I just have a feeling. If I ask, how many in this congregation feel like you have at least one? I'm asking you to do this exercise in your mind. Probably all of us would think, surely. Surely, I mean, God saved me. He gave me the measure of faith. Surely he's given me something. Anyway. But if that would hold true, like I suppose that it would, and if all of us are right there, I'm going to ask you a question. What is keeping you from doing with what God has given you? Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Church, I'm not trying to just dangle anybody over hell by shoestring. Y'all know that's not typically the way I preach. But I do want to be a challenging preacher, and I want to be edifying. I want to encourage you. I want us to be motivated in the fear of God to do the right thing. But I'm telling you, I know a lot of holiness churches, and I talk to people over and over and over and over all the time. Preachers that preach across this country that have told me time and again, your church is an exception. But you know what? The devil doesn't want it to be. And if he can immobilize us by fear. Yeah, but I'm afraid. But I'm just so, I've talked to people before. They were so afraid of this. And what if, and this might happen. You know. But what if we start being afraid of our fears? And fear, what if I don't do it? Then what? Amen. Well, somebody comes to the pen and gets us a song here this morning. A good friend of mine, a man I've become friends with, a man that I used to fear because he was a state trooper in our area when I was a teenage boy in a high school. We called him Zoomer, Mr. Zumwalt. He's a no-nonsense guy. He's a retired man. I ate breakfast with him quite a bit. Good, really, really good guy. Good Christian man, goes to church, loves to talk about the scriptures. But he's a tough guy. He broke some weightlifting records when he was 40, 50 years old. And he's been stabbed, shot, I don't know what all kind of scrapes he's been in. Like I said, we teenage boys, we wasn't hot rodding around, Brother Jeff, if we thought the Zoomer was around somewhere. Because he didn't mess with you. That's just the kind of man he was. But here's what he told me a while back. He said one night on Slick Road. How many knows where Slick Road is? He said, I fought with a big man. He said he was big. Other descriptions, it's not needed for me to pull in. But he said, I fought with him till my tongue was hanging out. And there was nobody there but just me and him. Finally, he said, I stopped and I looked at him. And he said, look, man, it's just me and you. And I'm tired. He said, if you don't submit, I'm going to shoot you. And the man submitted. And he took him in. He'd beat him up pretty bad. He said, I carried him to a hospital to get him some help. You're saying, preacher, why are you telling that? I'm trying to create what it would feel like for all of us to be on a dark road. With that only, that thing and that one thing that won't submit. Amen. I'm telling you here this morning, what will make that one thing in your life submit. And it is love. And perfect love will cast out fear. Love to fear will be like sicking a dog on a black cat. Come on, somebody help me preach in here. Amen. Take that fear to that dark road. Take that thing that's bothering you, that's worrying you, to that dark road all alone by yourself and say, look, it's only me. It's only me and you. And I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. I'm not quitting. I've come too far to turn back now. And take that last thing that won't submit, that fear, and put it under. Let perfect love cast out that invisible tormentor. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me in the house of the Lord today? Amen. God's trying to do something here. Are we really going to let ourselves come to this place? And we're going to let our fears of what hasn't even happened yet stop us from moving forward? Because we're afraid this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Something else is going to take place. And somebody's going to say, how many things have we quit doing because we were afraid that somebody else was going to say something? And why would they say something? If they had perfect love, they're not going to say anything. And if I have perfect love, I'm not going to say anything. And if somebody's trying to draw close to God, I ought to trust the people I worship with. Young people, there is not a person in this church that don't love you. There's not a person in this church that don't want you to excel. Young married people, there's not an older family in this church that don't care about you, that don't want you to succeed. They want you to. They've got your best interest in mind. Oh yes, they may see things in your life at times that causes alarm. But you know what? If they're motivated by love, they're going to pray about that. And if they feel just right about it, they're going to speak to you about that. Amen. How? In love. In love. I wonder again how many problems could have been avoided if somebody would have spoke to someone in love instead of just avoiding it. They said, I ain't saying nothing to them. If I do, they'll get upset and they'll be mad and they'll leave the church and they won't come back. Maybe not. If you approach them in love the way the Bible teaches to approach in love, for sure if they're walking in the love of God and I'm walking in the love of God and we're all walking in the love of God, that tormentor of fear that's going around saying, yeah, if you do this, if you do that, if you say this, if you try to encourage them, they're going to take it all wrong and they're going to think, no. No, no, no. Not if we're motivated by love. The reason we have those feelings, we've seen too many people that wasn't. It never works out. If we let ourselves be motivated by love, perfect love casteth out fear. That invisible tormentor, that mouth that can't speak, but yet it causes us to be paralyzed. That thing that has no hands, but yet its cold touch brings chills over our body. That thing that has no body, but yet when it's in our presence, we know that something's there. We recognize that something's not right. That's fear. It's fear. Fear has torment. The Word of God's got it pegged. It always knows what it's trying to speak into our life. But perfect love casteth out fear. Thank you, Lord. Would you pray with me right now in the name of Jesus? Heavenly Father, we come to you. I've preached my best. I've carried this for a few weeks now. I don't know. I don't know why it hasn't been delivered before. I don't know why it's today. But Lord, I just have to trust you. And I believe, Lord, that our best interest is in mind. I believe you care about your people. I believe you care about your children. I believe you care about your little flock. I believe you care about those that are cold and indifferent and unconcerned. You care about those that have their minds on other things and are distracted. But God, help me. I don't want to be distracted and taken away by things that are beyond my control that I can't do anything about. But oh God, I know, Lord, that you're in control. I know you love your church. I know you love people, and I know you're wanting to draw all of us closer and near to you, Lord. I pray for those. There's others, no doubt, that are watching and listening in various places, in various states, other countries. Lord, you know what those needs are, where they're listening in today. Meet those needs in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're going to do in this altar service. We give you the praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Go ahead and sing when you're ready, sister. The altars are open. Why don't we gather in? Why don't we just come and tarry and spend a few moments?
Storm raging high.
Time.
The waters around.
Calling on God and seeking Him with all of our hearts.
That night.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Their hearts.
Yes,
they
Lord.
They thought they might die. They felt
yes,
to remember
oh, yes.
The Master was nigh. Spoke the words, the winds
fear is so immobilizing.
Even
fear has a way of controlling us.
His will.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Like
thank you, Jesus.
Will mine.
Oh, God, I know you're a healer. I know you're a deliverer. I know you're a soul saving.
Why should I worry?
Heal us, Lord.
Why should I fear?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
The very same Jesus.
Oh, God,
he
my soul is spent.
He lives
my mind
in my
is made up. I've got a heart to draw closer to you,
when I cry.
Speak
I
into my life. Touch my life.
His name till the storm passes by.
Oh,
so
God, these things are real. That seems so real in my
why
life. God, let us get the
that
revelation. Let us get the manifestation,
Jesus,
the interpretation.
He stays always near.
What are we doing with what God has put in our life?
He hears.